Colossians chapter number 3, if you would. Colossians chapter number 3. Lord has spoken to my heart about this very thing this week. Colossians chapter number 3. And would you stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able? Verse number 15 is really where we're going to take this idea this morning. Colossians 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Could we read that first phrase together? "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's the message this morning. Let peace sit on the throne.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the people that you brought here this morning. Lord, I pray you would open up our hearts and you would speak to us, myself included. I pray you'd take me out of the way and let these be the oracles of God, Lord. I pray that you would do the work that I can't do, and that's reach into the hearts of everyone. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation.
Amen.
I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's really the part of this that I want to focus on. Now, let me give you the context. You know, anytime you're reading Scripture, you ought to look at the context. You can prove anything you want out of the Bible if you don't look at the context.
Right.
And so the context here, I want you to understand, Paul is writing to the Christians at Colossae, and he's reminding them that because you're saved, because you have been purchased by the blood of Christ, you now belong to Him. And because of that, you ought to be Christ-like. That makes sense. And it's one of those things, it's an easy idea, but it's not always easy in practice. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us and makes us more and more like Christ, but it is a process. It's something that doesn't just happen overnight. And we need an exhortation to be Christ-like. Well, Paul gives several traits here that they're to have: mercy, kindness, humility, love. The list goes on and on. But among these traits, at the very end of this list, Paul says to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, we don't live in a very peaceful world, do we? It doesn't take very much. You don't even have to look outside your front step to realize it's not a peaceful world we live in. Turn on the news or you run across any sort of article on the internet, there's turmoil everywhere. You know, there's war going on everywhere. You know, we focus a lot on the war going on in Ukraine and Russia, and the war with Hamas and Israel. But you understand, there are more than just those two wars. At any given time, there's so much war happening in any part of the world. There's financial instability. This is a hard economic time. With inflation, the value of the dollar goes down, and people's pay is about staying the same or decreasing. It's a hard time to live in. There's so much sickness. I said a couple weeks ago, we had 16 people out because of different health issues. And it's a troublesome time. There's natural disasters all over the world, and that's just the tip of the iceberg here, folks. This is not a peaceful world that we live in. This is a troubled world that we live in. It's a sin-cursed world that we live in. And so the question then becomes: what is peace? What is peace? And you know, if you have your definition of peace all wrong, you'd be tempted to think that there is no peace.
Yep.
And there can be no peace. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is peace.
Amen.
There is peace. The world would say that peace is the absence of trouble and strife. You live in a bubble, and none of the evil things in this world can penetrate that bubble. You are just calm as a cucumber. That's what the world would think is peace. But can I tell you, peace has nothing to do with the outside. You can't control what happens on the outside. You can't control the wars that happen around the world. You can't control whether you get sick or not. You can't control the economy. You can't control any of these things. You have zero power. That's why peace has nothing to do with what happens on the outside. Peace has everything to do with an inward condition.
Amen.
What are things like on the inside? Because you can't control what's on the outside. But you still can have peace on the inside. Peace is internal quietness. It's tranquility of spirit in spite of the trouble. Yeah, there's trouble. This is the world we live in. I'm not here to tell you that your troubles are all going to go away, because they won't. Things may get worse for you. And Jesus said that anyone that follows him, they can just expect persecution. You know, the world doesn't really look too kindly on things that we do. You know, I was out yesterday. I was sitting at a table. We had a table set up and we were giving out free Bibles. Anybody that wanted one, come up, gave them a tract, talked to them about the gospel. And, you know, there were some people that they came up there and they were, "Oh, I've been looking for a Bible. Thank you so much." But there was an event. There were several other booths there. And I got to tell you, there were a couple photographers. And they were taking pictures for the newspaper wherever they were taking pictures for. And you ought to have seen the look that I got from the newspaper people. They had their cameras and they saw me and I'd look at them and they'd act like they couldn't see me. And I'm right there in the middle. We had like prime real estate in this whole thing. And it was great. We were like in their way. And I saw that they were taking a picture of this booth. But we were right behind him. And so you know what he did? He kind of moved over, tried to get us in the... So we were being blocked out of view. And I knew what was going on. You know, the world kind of treats us that way. If you're a true follower of Christ, it's you can expect some persecution in life. But listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not what peace is. Peace is not never having to deal with those things. But peace is that inward tranquility, that peace of spirit. You know, years ago, there was a contest being conducted for, it was an art contest. They commissioned artists from all over the country to paint according to a certain subject. And every year, the subject changed. But the year I'm talking about, the subject was simply peace. They wanted to have painters paint pictures that encapsulated the word peace. And there was one picture. It was a tranquil lake. Oh, have you ever seen a lake at sunrise and there's no wind and there's nothing disturbing? It looks like a mirror, and it perfectly mirrored the clouds above. And that's what one artist painted to depict peace. And there was another artist that painted a small wooden cabin in the middle of winter. The blanket of snow had covered everything, but inside you could see a little light in the window and you could see the smoke rising from the chimney. It was just a peaceful little scene there. Some artist painted a valley or a meadow with not a cloud in the sky, bright sunshine and a gentle breeze. None of those paintings won. The winning painting was simply called Peace. But when you look at it, at first glance, you couldn't tell anything about it. It was dark. It was a picture of a cliffside, a sheer mountainous crag over a tumultuous ocean. And the winds were beating against the ocean and the waves were high. It was raining as hard as it could. There's flashes of lightning in the background, and it didn't seem like there could be any peace. But right there in the middle, there was a small little crack in that rock. And in that little crack, in that little crevice of the cliff, there was a little white bird sitting on a nest with her babies. And you know, that little bird wasn't scared. That little bird was safe and secure inside that mountain, inside that little crack. And even though that the storms were raging around her and there was flashes of lightning and you could almost hear the thunder, that little bird was truly at peace. Because peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is an inward condition. You know, Jesus called out and commanded the winds and the waves. You remember the story. Jesus called out and commanded the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." And immediately the storm ceased. The problem is, we want Jesus to say that to all of our life circumstances. Amen. We want Jesus to say to our troubles, "Peace, be still." But more often than not, Jesus is saying, "Peace, be still," to your heart and not the circumstances around you. He's saying to your heart, "Peace, be still." Can I tell you that's this verse here? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So, number one, peace is an inward condition. It's not dependent on the circumstances. It is there in spite of the circumstances. Now, going back to this story with Jesus saying, "Peace, be still," it was only Jesus who could have done it.
Amen.
People talk about the weather all the time, but nobody seems to do anything about it. Have you ever thought about that? People talk about the weather all the time, but the matter of fact is no one can do anything about it. But Jesus could bring about peace in the storm, as it's Jesus who is the only one that can bring about peace in your heart. Look, no amount of money is ever going to do it for you. You could have millions upon, you could have billions of dollars and still ride the waves of trouble. No amount of insurance could ever bring you that true peace.
Right.
I was talking to someone this week, someone who's well-to-do, well-off. They said, "I've got $1 million policy on everything." Well, you know what that tells me? It tells me they could lose everything. And I don't know about you, but there's some things that $1 million just will not buy.
That's right.
No amount of insurance is going to bring you peace. No amount in your retirement account will ever bring you peace. No safety net is ever going to bring you true peace. No house or bunker could ever bring you peace. Nothing can calm the troubled water of your heart save Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's Him and Him alone. You remember the bird in that painting? It wasn't the positive mindset of the bird. The bird didn't go in there and think, "Well, this isn't too bad." You ever do that? You ever try to look at the situation as the cup is half full? Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's not easy to put a positive spin on things. I tell you what, that's not what brought the bird peace. It didn't try to imagine that things were going to get better. It wasn't the ability of the bird. The bird couldn't control anything. It wasn't the natural talents of that bird. It was resting in the rock that brings about peace.
Amen.
That's what the bird was resting in. Not in itself or its own ability or its own mindset. The power of positive thinking. It was because it was resting in a rock. And you know what that bird knew? That rock is a whole lot stronger than it was.
Amen.
That rock can stand up to the storm. Psalm 61 verses 2 and 3 says, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist understood true peace can only be found in the Lord. True peace can only be found through Jesus. How does Jesus bring about peace? Well, can I tell you that when you're born, we're all born sinners. Every single one of us, we are born into enmity with God. If God is holy, that is, He's entire, He is perfect, we are imperfect. And we stand in stark contrast against God. We are literally the enemies of God because of our sin and our sinful state. But Jesus acted as our mediator. He's the one. He is God incarnate, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He is our great high priest, the one who stands between as that bridge between God and man, because He is both all God and all man.
Amen.
and he offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He offered himself. When sin, the penalty of sin was death, he paid the penalty.
Amen.
He is the one that paid the consequences for your sin. And he brought us together. He's that middleman that brings both sides together. And Jesus is the only way. You could try to be good, but none of your good works will ever get you even closer to God. It doesn't matter what church you're a member of. We talked to someone yesterday, outdoor knocking, and they praise the Lord, they got saved. But can I tell you, when we were showing them verses at the very beginning, they said, I was always taught that my church membership reserved me a guaranteed spot in heaven. Oh, no, friends, it doesn't matter what church you're a member of. That's not going to get you to heaven. No amount of good works will ever get you to heaven. No confessing your sins to a priest will ever get you to heaven. None of those things matter. It is only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is that mediator. He's the one, and through his death, he made peace. Now, I'm not an enemy of God. I'm like what Brother Myron said, I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
We have the adoption of sons, the Bible says. I am engrafted into the family of God. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I love that song. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way to have peace. If you don't have Jesus here this morning, you do not have true peace.
Amen.
You see how far that insurance policy takes you. You see how quickly that money in your bank account will run out. You just wait and see. You do not have true peace. You have no sure security. It is only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Before you can have the peace of God, you have to have peace with God.
Amen.
Can I say that again? Before you have the peace of God, you have to have peace with God. Are your sins forgiven? Have you trusted in the death of Jesus to cover your sins and to pay your sin debt? Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's not offered for just a certain group of people. Jesus died once and for all. Not just for all sin, but for all of mankind. For God so loved the elect that he gave his only begotten son, right? No, friends, for God so loved the world, he died to pay for the sins of this world. And what you do with Jesus will determine what Jesus does with you.
Amen.
What you do with Christ will determine your eternal destiny. When you come to faith in Christ, you can truly have peace because you have peace with God. You're no longer God's enemy. You're his child.
Amen.
You're his friend. When you come to faith in Christ, you truly have peace. Peace with God, but peace knowing that heaven is your home. There is a certain inner tranquility, no matter how bad this world gets. Hey, this is as worse as it's going to get. The only fire I'll ever feel is right here on earth. This is the closest to hell I will ever get to is this earth. But if you're not saved here this morning, this is the closest to heaven you're ever going to get. Understand, when you have peace with God through Jesus, when you're saved, you have peace knowing that heaven is your home.
Amen.
You have peace knowing that you'll never see hell. You have peace knowing that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. I pity the people that think that now that Jesus has paid for my sins, now I have to keep it up. Have you ever played that game as a kid? You have the balloon and you try to keep it up in the air. You know, it gets easy for a little bit, but you play that game for a little bit too long and your arms start to get tired. And eventually that balloon's going to touch the ground. Hey, that's the way it is. If that were the way salvation worked, and Jesus saved you, but now you have to keep it up, you're going to fail eventually. I'm so glad that's not the way it works.
Amen.
We are kept and sealed by that Holy Spirit of redemption. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You have the peace knowing that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. You have peace having the Holy Spirit to guide you in all of life's way. You know, there's something comforting knowing, look, I'll be the first to admit that I'm not perfect. I'm saved, but that doesn't make me perfect. I still live in this sin-cursed world. I still live in this flesh. And this flesh wants to do the things that are wrong. It just does. Jesus redeemed my spirit. And one day my body will be resurrected into His likeness, but not right now. But I've got the Holy Spirit who works every day to make me more and more into the image of His Son. I've got the peace knowing that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, when you've got Jesus, you've got that peace knowing that no matter the circumstances of life, God is working all of those things for good,
amen,
not for evil. You have peace knowing that God loves you and He'll never stop loving you. You can't get this kind of peace anywhere else. It is only through Jesus. It's not through the power of positive thinking. It's not through any sort of self-help book. It is only through salvation, through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. You can only have peace through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the second part of this verse says that we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Now, can I tell you, your heart, if we could picture it this way, your heart has a throne. And whatever you allowed to be seated on the throne is in control of your heart.
Right.
The throne in a kingdom, it's a lofty position. It's lifted high. You know, in a kingdom, there's a rule that no one's head can be higher than the king's. And so the throne is a lofty position. It's the highest seat in the kingdom. It's elevated above all else. This is your focus. And can I tell you, whatever you allow to sit on the throne of your heart, whatever becomes your focus, whatever you've got your eyes set on, that is what has control of your life. So what do you have seated on the throne of your heart? Take inventory just for a moment. And think about what is that controlling factor that controls everything. Look, you can have the peace with God, but that doesn't mean you can let it rule in your heart. You know, when fear sits on the throne, it rules your heart. Fear will cause people to stop dead in their tracks. People will let fear hinder them from living the life that's pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Do you know, God wants you to please Him. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Therefore, transitive property, God wants you to have faith. Pleasing God takes faith. The Bible commands that we live every moment by faith. Don't allow fear to sit on the throne of your heart and dictate your life. Don't let fear be that controlling factor. Let God's wonderful peace sit on the throne of your heart. You know, it's that peace that helps build your faith. Trials, they build your faith. The trying of your faith worketh patience, right? But because I have God's peace, I can live peacefully with my fellow believers. Because I have God's peace, I can obey His commands without fear. Because I have God's peace, I can have faith that God is looking out for me. Because I have peace, because I have God's peace, I can share the gospel with others. Because I have God's peace, I can go on, even when it feels like I can't go on. Do you see how letting peace sit on the throne of your heart can affect everything you do? So I ask you today, what do you have sitting on the throne of your heart? When the peace of God literally is in control of all you say and do, that's what letting the peace of God rule in your heart looks like. Letting that peace that you have with God take control and rule in your heart and dictate what you do. What do you have sitting on the throne of your heart? I'm asking you to bow your heads and close your eyes.